The pasuk in Beis Gilyonoi, ke'arya yichsei. The imagination of this of the wicked people, they're like a lion yichsei that is yearning litra. The word yichsei means to yearn. Litra is to rip apart. V'chechvir yoshev b'mistarim, like a kvir is a baby lion that is sitting in a secret place. Okay, so we know that this is the stuff. We know that the Dimyona is he had a very interesting translation. Dimyona means that he is similar to Dimyona. We discussed this in the Mitzudas that it's self understood. It is self understood. All of the metaphors in the Pesukim mean all the words in the Pesukim are metaphors. Yet for some reason, in this example, the Mitzudas Tavis felt that the word Dimyona means that the pasuk is explicitly coming to tell us that the wicked people they are similar to, there's a dimyon. The wicked are like a lion that yearns to rip apart, and like a kfir, a baby lion that sits in secret in a hiding place waiting to attack. And we explained then that a baby lion is not yet mature enough to attack on its own, does not have the boldness, the audacity to walk in public. It only, the best that they can do is they can sit and lay in ambush. Whereas the lion, the adult, mature lion, it's ready to rip apart in public. Fine. Pasuk, what does Rashi say?
Did you cover the various terms for lion?
No, the seven different terms, no. We didn't go through, no. Okay. I don't know what they are, and all the nuances, I don't know. You know them? You familiar again?
No, I've seen the listing.
Okay, there are some.
Gives a list.
Of all, there are seven different names for a lion representing the seven different stages.
Kefir,
Gore,
that's five.
Yeah, there are seven words describing the Torah of a lion representing different stages in its development, its growth. Kalesi Rashi Pasuk Yubez Yichsev Yachmoid Ki Nichsev Nichsafti. Okay, Nichsev Nichsafti, it means to yearn. Nichsef nichsafti, where does that say that pasuk? In reference to what? Ki nichsef nichsafti, who said that, those words? I forgot. Ki nichsef nichsafti.
Yearn.
In Bereshis, Lamed Aleph.
Not
Yosef. Okay. Chumash. Take his lamed al flamed. The ato halay.
Love
unto Yaakov. Love unto Yaakov. Love unto Yaakov. Yes, the ato halay chalachti ki nuxef nuxtav beisavicha lama ganavta esilkoi. Now you have love and complain to Yaakov. Why did you keep? Let me read the Rashi. Pasuk Lamed.
Why did you run away?
Why? Chamadita. Lama halechalach. You have fled. Ki nichsef nichsafta. Leveisavicha. Because you have yearned to return to your father's home. Lavan over here acknowledges that Yaakov has yearning to return to Yitzchak and Rivka. You have fled. The reason why you fled was because you yearned, you wanted to flee. And then he says, why did you steal the trophim? Okay, so get back to the Rashi. Good morning, a blazer. We're in the middle of Pasuk Yibes in the Rashi. Page 134 in the Rashi. Okay, that's the next Pasuk. Pasuk Yibimel. Pasuk Kum Hashem, Kadma, Fon of Hashem, rise up. Kadma fanav hachri'eyu. Over here, David now says to defeat the enemy. How should Hashem defeat the enemy? Rise up. Kadma fanav. Go in front of him. Hachri'eyu. And have him bow before you. Knock him out. Paltanashi, save my neshama me rosho charbecha from the rosho charbecha with your sword. Let's look again very quickly at the Mitzudah David. Pasuk Yogimel. The Mitzudah says, "Kadma fanav ad shelo yil kideni hakti meu v'hapileu l'chroya al birkaf." David says to Hashem, "Rise up and knock him out—a preemptive strike." This is what David says. What a little bit that there's something to be said about a preemptive strike. Not let the enemy get. When you see the enemy is about to come too close, then there is obviously a mile in a preemptive strike. And that's exactly what it says. See Hashem rise up, kadmah fanav, preempt him. Hachri'eyu, bring him to his knees. Palta, save my neshama from the Rasha. And then over here, the Mitzudah says something very unique. Charbecha, who is your sword. The wicked people who cause pain to us are nothing more than the tools of Hashem. It's Hashem's, if it wouldn't be this Rasha, it would be someone else. We always fool ourselves in thinking that when we have problems in this world, if only we can eliminate this person. This person is the source of all tsar. It's not true. If that person would be eliminated, there would be someone else. The problem, the root of the problem is not the person. And the person obviously is the problem. He has to be eliminated, has to be accountable. But in the spiritual world, it's because of our averus. And in the spiritual world, we have to recognize that it's because that we're not holding where we should. And if only we would do teshuva, we would not have this problem. And the person, of course, you know, is a Rasha, has to be dealt with, has to be held accountable, has to be nishpat. But in the spiritual world, if it wasn't him, it would be someone else. That's the very difficult balance in the person's mind. How do you deal with people that are wicked? The wicked people that cause tzar. So we vent out our anger and frustration against them and wish upon them death and klala. And there's no question that's how it has to be. But yet in our mind there's a balance, a counterbalance, realizing that and if it wasn't this person, it would be another tyrant that would come in their place. This very painful balance, spiritual world and the physical world, and putting them, you know, being able to manage them both in your mind all at the same time with the full intensity. Okay, so therefore over here, according to the Mitzvah, the word Harbecha means the Rasha, who is your instrument, your tool, your sword in dealing with us. Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, Kadmo Fanav Shel Oyev, Hashem, go in front of him. In other words, a preemptive strike. Hachri'ehu, bring him down to his knees. Kapach Es Raglov, cut off his feet. The Yichra, the Yipol, let him bow and fall. Let him be humiliated. Let him be destroyed. Papalta nafshi mikol rasha. Hashem, save my neshama from every good person. Shehu charbecha, save my neshama from every wicked person who is nothing more than your instrument, your tool. Charbecha sheata mashlitoi lipora minha hamechuyavim lecha. This the idea, very clear. Rashi makes it very, very clear. If not for this Rashi, if not for this Mitzudas, I don't think that's how we would translate the Pasuk. We would say, Kum Hashem Kadmofanov, Hachre'il Palta Navshi, Me Rasha, Charbech. We would probably say, Hashem, take out your sword. We would loosely translate the Pasuk to mean, Hashem, take out your sword and unsheath your sword and wipe out the enemy. Or we would say that the enemy who is drawing his sword against us. It's not something that we would say that when it says Charbecha, it's coming to define the word Rasha. The subject of Charbecha is the Rasha. The Rasha is nothing more than the tool, the instrument of Hashem. That's a very deep interpretation. That's something more than you would read about it more in the Musar Svarim. That's not something you'd expect to hear from the Pashtonim. The Mefarshim on the page will tell you the simple Shah on the Pasuk, that's something that's a little bit too deep. This is a very deep interpretation. You just think when it says Harbecha, it means that the wicked people, they're drawing out they're unsheathing their sword to attack us, or Hashem, you should take out your sword and wipe them out. To go say this concept that every time a person suffers, we have to realize it's Hashem who is bringing this suffering upon us because of our averos, or as a way to make us do teshuva. Yeah, that's not for the average person. That's a very deep concept. It's a very deep concept. But yet Rashi and the Mitzudas have no problem here in this pasuk telling us that is the pshutoi shel mikra. Next pasuk. The instruments of Hashem. It's a very deep interpretation. You can't. The world doesn't work like that.
Well,
What does he gain by that? I mean, he's like sort of going on the subject. You know, Hashem, what does he say?
Well, David is davening to Hashem.
You have to tell him he's your tool.
I guess.
That's the difference. Well, you know, tell me that a different time.
So I guess because this, we have to appreciate that Tehillim is not like other Svarim. It's not a history book. Tehillim is a prayer. And when a person is davening to Hashem, you have to be, you're in a different frame of mind, you're in a different mode. When you go and you're reading, you're learning, let's say, Pesukim and Shmuel, in Shmuel and Malachim, or even in Yeshaya, and there's more of a conversation of what to do, so it's much more direct. Tehillim is much more difficult, it's much more poetic, it's much more symbolic, because these are tefillahs where a person is standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're in a religious frame of mind. This is not instructions. This is not records, instructions. It's not an overview of Jewish history. It is a conversation with Hashem. And if you're talking to Hashem, then your focus is not, your focus is different. A person is suffering. So now you're davening. So when you're davening, the only thing to do is to acknowledge that the source of my problem is not just the person, it's me. Isn't that what davening is all about? When a person is davening, obviously the person has a difficulty. It's a person that davenes for refuah shlema. We say refuah hanefesh or refuah haguf. You go to the best doctor in the world, but you acknowledge that the root of the issue is something in my neshama, and I have to do teshuvah the best that I can, and deal with that issue, deal with the defect in the neshama which has manifested itself in my guf. That's what you do when you daven. When you go to the doctor, you leave the sitter at home, and you go to the best doctor, and you take the best medicine, and you deal with the issue hands on. But when you go daven mincha, then you put aside the medicine, you put aside all of the issues, and you focus on the neshama, because the neshama and the guf are parallels of one another, and the issues in the neshama manifest itself in the guf. Tehillim is unique amongst all the Chof Dalet Zivrei Tanakh, and that it's purely a conversation with Hashem. It's an expression of Tehillim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the frame of mind, the frame of mind of Tehillim has to be focused on Ruchnius. And that's why it's appropriate. Here, David is dealing with the Rasha, and David is acknowledging the Rasha is your tool, your instrument. Okay, Pasuk Yudalet. We're on page 136. 136, Mizmar Yud Zayin, 17, Toiv. Pasuk Yudalet. Minisim Yadcha. This was a spooky Pasuk. As we remember, we did the first round. This pasuk deals would seem to be dealing with the neshama, dealing with very mystical things that take place in the next world. And David here is describing the process of death. There are many ways to die. Mimisim yodech Hashem, mimisim michelet michelet. Hashem, may it be, is a prayer. At least going to the mitzudos, may it be that I should die through your hands. I should not die a violent death. Hashem, you should be the one who takes my neshama. Mimisim yodech, may it be from those who die by your hand. Right. Hashem. Then David repeats himself with an expression of he mentions Hashem's name. Mimisim mecheled. We learned in the Mitzudos, may I die of old age. Cheled means time. May I die, when a person dies through the Yad Hashem, he can die Rachmana Litzlan early, before his destined time. Or he can die at his destined time, when in old age. Then the next word, so he cheled here, we learn in the mitzvah, look over the mitzvah, see, it's a very good vocabulary word. It says over here, mecheled means inyan zaman, time. Me choled, okay, means time. May I die old age. Number one, and no, even though you died in old age, shouldn't be killed. The people of Yeshiva was 120 years old, but he was tortured to death. Many of the Asura Harugei Malchus were very, very old. They were very old, but they didn't die a natural death. They didn't die through the Yad Hashem. I mean, everything's the Yad Hashem, but in this context, it means they were killed by another human being.
A violent death.
They're violent death.
It's and interesting that
Shaul was young. Violent death. And he died young. Shaul missed him. So you're saying Eliezer, leader friend. Did I get it right?
Right.
Finally. Oh. It's like Rabbi Eliezer Nibojon say. I get it right? Did I get it right? Mibozhon Se? Mibozhon Si?
Yes.
Oh, okay. See, still didn't get that one right. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar, Mibozhon Si? He used to be in the koil here. What kind of stuff talking about? Okay. But over here, Mibisim Yadacha, you're saying very good. The David over here is, who's David's nemesis? Shaul. How did Shaul die? He died a violent death. He actually killed himself.
His own sword.
He told the Amaleki that he should kill him. And then when he said, that's not going to work, so he killed him, he fell on his own sword. And no one, he's not blamed, no one has complaints, because you learn a lot of halachas from that. There are a lot of halachas that they learn from that, is that sometimes, in times of war, it's appropriate for a person to take their own life. During the Crusades, the first Crusades, many people took their own lives. The Crusaders were marching, and they knew from past experience that the Crusaders would torture them to death in the most unbearable way possible, and they would take their children and missionize them. So many people, they slaughter their own children, they kill their own children, and then they kill themselves. And there were many, and when we read about this on Tisha B'Av in the Kinos, we're shocked, because today, Baruch Hashem, we couldn't even imagine such a thing. And it, to us, it seems totally bizarre and connected kol ha'tara kula. And the reason why we think that is because we're blessed not to have any concept of what life was like in those difficult times about 1,000 years ago. We have no idea what kind of conditions they lived in, what kind of world it was, the mindset of the world, and how the world operated. And because we're so far removed, that's why when we read these stories in Tisha B'Av and the Kinos about parents killing their own children and then killing themselves, it seems to us beyond understanding. Good morning, Menachem. So, over here, David over here, he's saying, Rabbi Eliezer is saying something very profound, that David is nemesis, all these mizmorim, the name Shaul keeps on coming up. Wherever you blink, there he is, Shaul. Shaul, there he is. And Shaul died young. Shaul was, how old was Shaul when he died?
52.
That was Shmuel. 52. Shmuel was 52. Shmuel was 52. So how old was Shaul? I don't know, but Shaul was, I don't know, it must be.
Doesn't say
anywhere? It has to be some record, no? Not sure. But Shaul seems to have been young. He died obviously in war. He died young. And he died. Only 2 years. So Shaul must have been very young.
That was
Yehoshua's son.
Yeah, but
what about what? But right, but that was David's best friend. And what about Shaul? But Dol was very. But Shaul's nemesis, David's nemesis, was Shaul, and Shaul died very young, and Shaul died a violent death. And now when David is reflecting over here, especially since many of these things touch upon Shaul, I don't want to be like Shaul. I want to die in my own bed. I want to die a long life and die a natural death, not a death by the sword. Mimisim yodicha, a natural death, Hashem. Mimisim mecheled, a death of old age. And then after he dies, what's the next step? What's the next part of the process? Chelkom b'chayim. May their portion, over here we see that he's talking about himself. I skipped up. What did I skip? I didn't read the Rashi yet. I'm just reading the pasuk in a very general sense. Let's read the pasuk. Chelkom b'chayim. May their portion be amongst the living. So we learned last week, it means in olam haba. In the world of chayim, it's the chayim, real chayim. The chayim of olam haba. Chayei olam haba. Utzifuncha temalei vitnam. The treasures that are in Shemayim, we have no idea what this is, but in Shemayim, obviously, there are chambers that have goodies, delicacies, and the Or of Torah, may the treasures that are in the other world, fill up their beten, their inside, their neshamos, I mean, the figurative expression. Then it says, Yis be'u vanim, may they be sated with good children. When they leave this world, they should leave over good children, which gives them, you know, mobility. As they always say, the person has children, and the children go in his ways, and they bring their parents nachas in the next world. When a person leaves, he should have something to give over to his children. should give over to his children something, some either you want to say means money or a legacy to be proud of. And then David concludes, Ani b'tzedek echazef anecha, I b'tzedek, in the, we learn in the mitzvus, this means in the zuchus, in the merit of the good things that I've done in this world, may I merit to see your panim, esba obe hakitz, and may I be satisfied with tichias hamesim, t'muna secha, by witnessing your image in this world when I come back to this world, tichias hamesim. So these two psukim describe incredible things. It describes the nature of death, the type of death. It describes the time of death. It describes the other world, the chaya olam haba. It describes the activities that take place in olam haba. What is tzafun? Describes what a person leaves over in this world. He leaves over good children, and he leaves over also, he accomplishes something in this world that he can leave over to his children, whether it's the more mundane form of money or it is meaning a legacy that we have what to be proud of. And then it describes tchiyas hamesim in the zuchus of a person's ma'asim tovim. He should merit tchiyas hamesim b'hakitz. Rabbi Beryl Wine always likes to say, is that how do you define success in life? Define success. Open up the book, the dictionary, and look for the word success, or maybe after a different type of book. What is success in life? How do you define success? So he says, if you can, a person can say that when he leaves this world, that his parents, if you can, the person can say when he leaves this world that his grandparents and his grandchildren are proud of him, that's called success. Sometimes you have people, you know, you can say, no, maybe your grandchildren are, but you have to think, it's a very deep statement. Person, when he leaves this world, he can say, my parents, my grandparents, they're satisfied. I've lived a life that they would be proud of, and my grandchildren can say they're proud of their grandfather. There's a lot to be said about that statement. That is called success. A person can leave this world making such a statement that my grandparents and my grandchildren, and of course it means in between your parents and your children as well, can have nachas from you. Each one can look up or down at you and say, yes, this is Mishalanu. This person is one of ours. That is success. Finish. Case closed. Nothing more to discuss. So here, there's something over here. Over here, there's a little bit of a reflection, a little bit of an element of that here. Pasuk, let's see the Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yudal, Mimesim
Yodcha. By the way, what's the Metzedek? Who's
Tzedek? The Mitzudas. So we'll see Rashi. David. At least so far, we're learning the Mitzudas. And the Mitzudas says, in the Zuchus of the good deeds that I have done in my lifetime. That's how the Mitzudas David says so far. We'll see more in a moment. But so far, in the merit of the good deeds that I have performed. Let's see another Rashi.
It reminds me of the pasuk of Vayachshevei Halot Tzedakah by Abraham. There's a question, who to whom?
Vayachshevei Halot Tzedakah, okay, right. You have a lot of these type of pasukim of Mi Amar Mi, and the Mepharshim, they say, and they say, you know, you can learn it different ways. For example, by Amalek, we're going to learn in next week, Zachar Eis Asher Asa Lecha Amalek, and the end is V'lo Yorei Elokim. Who's that going on? Is it going on the Klal Yisrael, and that's why we suffered this horrible attack? Or is it a description of the Amalekim? The Amalekim, the essence of the Amalekim is V'lo Yorei Elokim.
Another example is when cutting his Shaul's coat is ambiguous. It said he tore his jacket, so they ask who tore
whose jacket. Vayavar Hashem al ponov vayikra. Who is the subject of vayikra? Is it Hashem or Moshe? So machloek, it's two different opinions. So here as well, it's very good. Here it says Bitzedek, and according to the Mitzvah David, it says that David is declaring to Hashem an I in the merit of the good deeds of the tzedek that I have performed. In that merit of my tzedek, I should merit Tchiyas HaMeisim. I've earned it. I deserve it. I'm entitled to it. Let's see another Rashi. Pasuk Yudal, Mimesim Yodcha. Min HaMeisim Biyodcha Al Mitasam Ani Boicher Lihiyoist. Okay, what we learned last week, the story of Aaron Kotler. David Ovi Yezmin Mespalo. I should die on my own bed. An incredible bracha. person should die a natural death. I want to be from that group of people who die in my own bed. From those people who die in old age. From the people who rust. Now, what does this mean? Ramchal, what's that word, by the way? Rudila Balas.
Rashi's version is Rudi. The modern word is Rui, which means rust.
Rust.
So it's those who have rusted.
Old age. Old age, it means it's rusty. The car, the engine is full of rust. Naturally, it's a disturbing expression. Because when we think about the ultimate type of death, it doesn't mean it's rust. The body doesn't have rust. The body, you know, it just gives out. That's called rust. Wear and tear. Wear and tear. The word rust, for some reason, does not sit well with us. Okay, chaluda, there's got to be something deeper, something probably very deep about this. But Rashi says, a person becomes rusty. That doesn't go off well today. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work for us. What does it mean exactly in Chazal? This requires a study. Anyone who want to do a PhD thesis on this? We'll hook you up with a... Chaluda, to understand the depth of this expression. Let's go further. And that, for some reason, Rashi describes this the ultimate type of way to die, natural death. From the tzaddikim, the chalkam, their portions b'chayim, utzufuncha tamale vidna. When we oisem asher tamale me'em, tuvcha asher tzufanta liriacha. Now, it would appear that Rashi disagrees with the Mitzudas David. Maybe I made a mistake in the Mitzudas David. Let's just jump down very quickly to on the bottom. When it says here, So I did not make a mistake. I remembered correctly. The Mitzudas David learns when it says Chalkam b'chayim, it means David, I already died. I am already now on the other side. I have already passed the border. I passed the border. I'm on the other side, and now he's praying. When I come to the other side, there are a lot of different roads to different places you can go. There's Gehenna, and there is the Yeshiva Shalmaila, and there, who knows, whatever these things are, and there's a place there called Chayim, Chayei Olam Haba. David is praying, I should merit Chayei Olam Haba. Rashi would appear to disagree with that interpretation. Rashi appears to be that it's a continuation of what type of life I want. I want to live a life, a long life, I want to die naturally, and the life that I live should be a good life. It should be chelkom b'chayim. My portion should be, or the portion, he's speaking about himself in third term, their portion, he's really referring to himself, or maybe of tzaddikim, should be, so again, the Rashi says, what kind of life? Asher min hatzaddikim. My life should be like the tzaddikim who live a good life. Good life does not mean a good life where they're, you know, everything is fun and games. Obviously, it means accomplishment. Accomplishment in Torah umitzvahs and Yerushalayim. Uminat tzadikim asher chalkam b'chayim utzvuncha t'mali vidnam ba'isam asher t'mali mehem tuvcha asher tzvad l'uyacha. Does that? It would seem that this refers to this world as well. According to Rashi, all of these descriptions are not describing the next world. Rashi says, who needs the next world? Let's first work on this world. May I have a good life to be a tzaddik. And every single day I should accomplish. My neshama should be filled with Torah, Yerushalayim, mitzvahs. I should store up in this world the most that I can. Yisram, now he's finally coming to the moment of death. And when I die, I should have a big bank account. And leave over a lot of good things. Doesn't it? I told you, it doesn't mean money. It means a legacy. A legacy. It means merit, zuchus avos. I should be the source of zuchus avos of my descendants. Yisram k'nichseihem asher yashir b'moisam. I should leave over to my children. Now, it's very interesting because, you know, if you want to take this in a very literal interpretation, this is contradicted by a Gemara. I don't know where the Gemara is. Maybe you go here and know Shas on your fingertips. Remember where the Gemara is? Where the Gemara seems to say that it's not a good thing to leave over money to the next generation. Because that means, I mean, this is you know, this is not the way we live today, obviously. It's because it means you wasted time and did not derive benefits. Person leaves over every, ordinarily, if you earn money, maybe that's why it doesn't apply, because the money today, the way we earn money today is very, very different than in ancient times. But if a person has money in the bank and he earned it honestly, it means he worked very hard. That time that you spend working, if you did not work, what would you have done with that time? Well, everyone can, you know, knows, everyone is different, but there are people that are very, very holy people. They would have used that time to learn Torah, to daven, to do mitzvahs. They would have taken that time and invested it in ruchnius, each person on their level. Everyone is different. Not everyone, you know, not everyone, it's a good idea to retire. Just because you have time on your hands is not necessarily a good thing for many people. But there are people out there that if they would not be working, they would be engaging in other spiritual activities that they feel would enhance their neshama in the next world. So now when a person leaves and he sees that he has in his possession wealth, that means I have in front of me wasted time. All of this money is time. Time is money. And I spend time earning that money. If I did not spend time, if I didn't have that money, I would have had more time. And I would have been able to accomplish something in the world of ruchnius. Oh, my children, I should give the money over to my children. I need my children. Who says you have to worry about your children? Your children will take care of themselves. I know what I'm saying is total nonsense. I know that. I'm very well aware that what I'm saying today in the modern world is total, absolute nonsense. I know that because that's not the way it works with regard to making money and children. But I'm talking about time of the Gemara. The Gemara, it was a very different economic system. And people lived basically from day to day. And there was no such thing as pensions. And there's no such thing as insurance policies. There was no such thing, obviously, and children, when they were 6 years old already, were already, you know, go fend for yourself. The Gemara talks in a world that we have no clue of understanding of what kind of world they lived in. And in that type of world, what?
The responsibility of the children.
Different generations. There were different generations, different tikkunos. You can't generalize, different times. But the Gemara there does make this statement, which I told you I know is bizarre for us to relate to. But Rashi over here is in that world, is dealing with that world. And the statement there is that there was one of the Tanaim, he went and he died, and he had a great tsar, because he had in the bank maybe $1.25 left in his life savings account. And he lifted up his hands and he says, wow, look, I wasted my life. The fact that I still have $1.25 in my savings account, that amount of time that I spent to earn $1.25, not even enough money to get on the bus, that amount, not even enough money to buy lunch downstairs, because it closed down to $1.50 now. That amount of money was wasted time. And it's a chaval. I lost that in Olam Haba. Another chelik of Olam Haba because of that wasted time that I could have spent not using that time for Avodas Hashem and not using it to sustain myself. So the Gemara presents this extremely bizarre picture that the ideal life is to leave over nothing. And that would mean, in the ideal form, every moment you spent in this world was for a purpose. The amount of time you spent working was to sustain yourself, and all the other time that you don't need to sustain yourself, you devoted to serving Hashem in any form that it takes on. And here, it's a pasuk in Tehillim. This is not a medrash. This is not the 21st century, that there were a different way of life. It's a pasuk, and the pasuk in Tehillim says that David is praying that when I die, I should have a nice bank account of millions of dollars to bequeath to my children. A contradiction, no? So what do you want to say? No, when it says in the pasuk, it doesn't mean money. It means a legacy of Torah and mitzvahs. So my grandchildren can say, we have zuchus avos. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says it's talking about cash. Cash is king. We're talking about cash. We're not talking about a legacy of ruchnius and spiritual accomplishments. Rashi says, Yisram nichsehem asher yashidu b'moysam. Okay, so how do we reconcile this Rashi, which says, based on a pasuk, that it's a very good thing for a person, when he leaves this world, to leave over assets, nechosim, to his children, is what it says in the Gemara.
Maybe it means land, property.
Okay, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It has to be understood. It has to be understood. And obviously, in today's day and age, you know, it's a complicated world today. How these things work. So this balance of people being independent, and not relying upon their parents, which is not a good thing. I once heard there was a gevir. I told this to you one before. There was a gevir, and the gevir, he lost a lot of money at the end of his life. He lost an enormous amount of money. Enormous. And he commented to one of his close friends, who told this to me, and he told him, you know, it was very painful. He lost an enormous amount of money. And he said he sees now, in hindsight, that it was a bracha. How could he say such things? He says, because when I lost the money, I was already in the stage of retirement. I was already halfway retired. I was transitioning everything over to my children. And I saw they were beginning to fight. I saw there was already the roots. Mm-hmm. It's a true story, I'm not making this up. I saw there was already some conflict already. And if I would have had all this money, it's very possible there would have been a big machlokes already with my children. And certainly after I die, there'll be a big fight. I lost an enormous amount of money, which basically forced them all to go off on their own into other ventures, business ventures. And Baruch Hashem, they're all now independent. They all have their own thing now. They do their own thing now, and they're all independent. And therefore, I see now that the kids, my children, they're good with each other. So even though at the time, I mean, he could say that even at the time it was extremely horrifying what happened, how I lost all this money. But I see that there was a silver lining, a blessing that it definitely prevented my children from fighting.
They say Hasidim say the craft of the Levayim, they're talking to each other, it's nishtu kan gel.
Oh, well, you know they say they ask the same three questions by a shidduch. When a boy gets engaged, they ask the same three questions as when a person dies. Same three questions. Number one, how old is he? Number two, how long did he mutzuch? And number three, is he going to Eretz Yisrael? The same three questions. Mordechai, like that? The same three questions. Okay. So we have over here Ani. So now let's go further in the Rashi. Rashi over here says he's the person who leaves over wealth to his children. Ani b'tzedek, b'tzidkoscha. I now over here we have a machlokes. Rav Kalman mentioned this. Ani b'tzedek. We have an open dispute between the Mitzudei Stav and Rashi, whereas the Mitzudei Stav learns I in the zuchus of my righteousness. I plead with you, Hashem, I should merit olam haba. Rashi disagrees. In your righteousness, Hashem, you should be gracious. It may very well be that I do not deserve olam haba or tchias ha-nesim, but Hashem, you know, you're a tzaddik, and a tzaddik goes lefnim mishur ha-sadin. Hashem is begging Hashem that he should merit tchias ha-nesim in b'tzid koscho, in your righteousness, not in my righteousness. Echazep ponecha lo'asin, I should merit to see upon him lost in the future. Oy b'tzedek echazep ponecha. Or b'tzedek, or what does this mean? Another interpretation, through tzedek mishpati hoitzei milifonecha v'hatzedakos shebiyodi echos. Exactly what the Mitzvah David says. In my merit, in the merit of my righteousness, may my judgment go forth in the positively, uvohem, and through my merits, echeze ponecha, I should see your ponim. And then he says,
he said it in another place, lachazot benoam Hashem u'bakeher v'echalo. That means in this world.
In this world, right.
And then it's dava kis v'umaratera, maybe this.
In the next world.
Okay. He wants to right here.
First thing is this world. Not going anywhere. Well, there's no rush. They always tell people are suicidal. They tell them, what's the rush?
Why does he think that he is better than Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, hareini na et kodecha.
Yeah.
Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai.
Okay.
So it
means in the next world. Who says it means in this world? Ani b'tzadik ech zeponecha, maybe it means in the next world.
Why does it say, lachzot benoam Hashem ulvaker becharok etzfir? We're talking here.
In this world.
So
the different ponim. There Moshe said something. Moshe there said, ponechovi doesn't mean mamish to see Hashem's ponim.
No, not that.
It means to have an understanding. An understanding of this world, an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch, right? Okay, further. So ani b'tzadik zeponecham es ba'ob ha'kitz t'munasecham. Getting back to the Rashi, he says ani b'tzadik b'tikoscha echa zeponech lo asid oy b'tzadik echa zeponech. We did already find next echoiz the second to last line, the second to last line of the Rashi es ba'ob ha'kitz t'munasecham es ba'ob meiriyas t'munecham. May I be sated from seeing your t'muna b'ha'kitz? What's ha'kitz? When I wake up, t'riyas ha'meisim. From their slumber. Another interpretation. Now, may I be sated from seeing ponecha b'hakitz hamesim mishnasam the mesim shehem bidmus t'muna secha. They are the dmus of your t'muna. Shekei Nemar, ki b'tselem Elokim oso es hodam. Let's see what's over here on the side of his base. Esbo b'hakitz t'munasecha, perish Rashi Zal. Esbo me'ri'yas t'munoscha b'hakitz ha'meisim, when they wake up, mi'she'nosam. L'shon acher. Let's read that one more time. First it says, I'm reading the Sifsei Zekeinim. We're trying to make sense from the two interpretations of Rashi. I think the second interpretation simply means is that I don't want to die, period. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live forever. I want to witness those people who have already died come back to life. Is that what it means? And Rashi's first interpretation seems to say that David is saying, I want to die and come back. Dying is inevitable. Everyone's going to die. I'm now praying I should merit Techiyas HaMeisim.
He dies the same way, so
that's the beginning.
He has a preference.
David here describes how he's going to die. I want to live a long life, a good life. I want to marry to have a life like the tzaddikim, and you should fill me up in this world, fill up my tank with all the good stuff, with the unleaded, this the plus, right? I only get the 87. I never get the other stuff. Why do they even sell the other stuff? I don't even know who buys the other type of fuel. You ever fill up your tank with anything other than regular? I don't know who are those people out there.
Yeah, I have an old car.
89.
And you only can use them with the
pings. If you put 87, the pings.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, I didn't know that.
You know the car.
Listen, the Yechidei School Rabbi Sai. A baruch is from those people who gets the best.
Do you still have unleaded?
Okay, according to Rashi describes over here how I'm going to die. I'm going to have a good life, and then in the next world I should marry. I should see you, Hashem, whatever this means, and I should triyas ha'meisim. It could be that according to the second interpretation of Rashi saying I'm not going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. I'm sticking around here, and I want to stick around to such a degree. I want to see the people who have already died come back. I want to witness them. Is that what Rashi means? Let's go here. The Sifsei Zekeinim. Es baba hakitz t'munasecha. Perish Rashi Zal. Es ba'o meri'yas t'munascha. May I merit to be satisfied, to be satiated or sated from seeing your t'muna. Behakitz hameisim mishei nasam. When the dead wake up from their sleep, which seems to be including himself. Losh nacher. Es ba'o meri'ois panecha behakitz. The Koshla Rashi, Lepeyu Sharishan, Miyusohu Milas Timu Nosecha. What is that word? Hakar Amar Echezeponecha. So there's repetition. the shiur ha-pasuk kachu, the flow, the meter, the flow of the pasuk, the interpretation of the pasuk is as follows. Echazeh panecha v'gam esba'a nir'iyas panecha. May I see your panim? That's one thing. It's one thing is to see. Number two is I should be satisfied. I should enjoy it. Not everything that you see does it provide satisfaction. I should be esba miri'iyas panecha. Mosai, when will that be? Behakitz. Ritzon Eloimar. Hamesim mi shei nosam, when the dead wake up from their sleep, when the dead wake up from their sleep. Oy kach hayoloi loymar esba temu noscha behakitz. I should see your tumuna when I'm alive. Not means I shouldn't die. Ulezechu chachlavi oy deloshen acher esba mir ois ponecha ritzon loymar sheshira pasekachu echaze ponecha. When will that be? When will that be? The mesim, which are the demus of temunoscha, the kalhaven. It may be kalhaven for the sifsis of Canaan, but it's not kalhaven for me. Okay, I don't really get. Let's just read the Rashi one more time, then we're gonna go on. Let's just try one more time. I didn't appreciate when I did prepare this, but obviously not enough. I didn't have and understand this too well. Let's read these words one more time. We'll get the Rashi, the second place. Find something that's important from Decha. We did pick up though over here one at least important point is that the words that with this repetition, there is echezefonecha. Okay, that's one expression. And then there is a second expression of esba'o timunasecha. Timunasecha is another form of ponecha. Why is the repetition? So he explains, esba'o meri'yas timunasecha. I will be satisfied from seeing your timuna when behakitz hameisim mi shenosam at the time of tchias hameisim. Okay, fine. Next, loshen acher. Esba'o I will be satisfied. Now he's going back, notice in this Lashon, he's the word Esba'a, he is attaching to Echazeh Ponecha Esba'a. I think that's what he's trying to say. Is the word Esba'a, is it attached to the end of the Pasuk? Or is the word Esba'a attached to the beginning of the Pasuk? Where do you put the comma? Now don't bring a raya from the Ta'ameh HaMikra, from the Trop. Because first, as we said many, many times, the Trub in Tehillim has its own set of rules. Emes, Eoiv, Mishle, and Tehillim, the Trub has its own set of rules. And even if the Trub was the way it was supposed to be, it doesn't matter. In interpreting the Pesukim, many times Rashi does not follow the Tameh HaMigra. So it would seem that the question over here is, are we putting...
So you're saying the comma could be before or after?
Correct. Correct, and don't be misled by the Tameh HaMikra. Lashon Acher, that's what this is currently alluded to. Esba Meirois Ponecha. He puts the word the Ponecha. May I be satisfied? Meirois Ponecha. The satisfaction of seeing your vision will be Bohakitz Hameisim. The word Temuna Secha is a code word for the dead. The word Temuna Secha does not mean Hashem's panim. The word Temuna Secha make believe it means Behakitz HaMeisim. Substitute the word Temuna Secha with the word Meisim, the dead. And it means just one thing, I will be with Bitzedek in either my merit or your merit. We'll see you, Hashem, we'll see your full glory. Wow, Shalom Aleichem, welcome back from the Holy Land. The Holy Land. You still have dust on your shoes from Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah.
I hope you didn't polish your shoes yet. The minute is...
I didn't.
You did. You're not supposed to polish your shoes when you come back from Eretz Yisrael for a long time. Because you have on you the dust of Eretz Yisrael. Right? That's what it says in the Pasuk, that you cherish, that's how you make the Pasuk. You cherish the dust of Eretz Yisrael by bedach, not polishing your shoes when you come back for Eretz Yisrael until someone says to you, you know, I think you should polish your shoes. Okay, but going back over here, so over here, this is a very fascinating thing he's saying over here. According to the second interpretation, He's saying the word Temunasecha is another word for the dead. Why? Because dead people are in the Temunah, are in the image of Hashem. Now, this is saying incredible what he says here. We have the pasuk, we always say this pasuk, that ki bitzelem Elohim osa es ha'adam. Man is made in the image of God. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Hashem is not a davar gashmi. Hashem is kul ruchni. How could you say that man is like God? Man is a davar gashmi. Hashem is kul ruchni. So how do we understand this? We have all these interpretations. Everything is a metaphor. The same way there's a person has a yad, there's the yorah chazaka, etzba elokim, there's the zeres, and there is this and there is that. We have the eyes, hinei lo yunu v'lo yishan, the eyelids we discussed yesterday. Everything about a person is just a reflection of the spiritual component of Hashem. But if you take the neshama out of the guf, and all you have is the neshama, and you remove the gashmias, then you're much closer to the concept of ki bitzelem elokim osa es ha'adam. Assuming that the word adam, man, means even the neshama. That's an interesting question. When you say the word adam, Hashem created Adam. Is Adam a word which only means gashmias? Well, Adam means afar, man, ha'adama. So ordinarily, the word Adam in our vocabulary can only mean a living person, which is a davar gashmi. Because the word Adam comes from the word Adama, afar, man, ha'adama. But not necessarily. There's another interpretation of the word Adam. It's Adame lo elyon. Adam Elo Elyon, I will be like, who said those words? Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, I am just like God. Adam Elo Elyon. And Chazal took those words of Nebuchadnezzar and they said, you know, there's some truth to those words. And every single person, to a degree, the reason why he's called an Adam, because he is similar to Hashem. He is similar. Why is he similar? Because he is in the Dumus. He is in the Dumus of Hashem. According to this interpretation, the word Adam has nothing to do with the word earth. Has nothing to do with Davar Gashmi. So then, Enochanami, ki bitzelem elokim also es Adam, means the neshama of a human being without any Gashmias is in the tzelem elokim. So thus, the neshama, in essence, is a dimyon to the temuna of Hashem. So the dead means the neshama has now separated from the guf. Those neshamas, which are the dead, are the temuna of Hashem. This is heavy-duty stuff. Rabbi Chol, this sounds like maral type of stuff. No? That the neshama, this is Rashi. Unbelievable. The neshama is called, in Rashi's second interpretation, is called the temuna of Hashem. Why? The Sif says Zikanim says, because it says in the Pasuk, ki bitzelem elokim osa es ha'adam. Oh, but Adam means afar min ha'adama. No, that's one mahalach. There's another mahalach of why min is called Adama, because it comes from the word dimyon. Adame lo elyon. I will be compared. I will be similar to Hashem. So now when you take that
that's
principle.
That's why you can't
hang the person up. Because ki kilas elokim tolu. Because he's been selling elokim, but there, you see, that's only the goof. The person's dead. That's only the goof. But fine, but here he's saying the word that the neshama is what's doime to Hashem, not the goof. The neshama has a dinyan to Hashem, not the goof. And therefore, when it says here in the pasuk, "Va'akitz temunasecha," it means when the dead will wake up. And David, then the whole pasuk agrees, it's I, b'tzedek, either in my merit or in your graciousness, Hashem, you will allow me to echezeh ponecha and esbo'ah. You will let me see your panim and be sated with an appreciation of what I'm seeing. When will this happen? It will happen b'chokitz temunasecha, when the dead wake up. Substitute the word dead for the word temuna. Because that is what the dead are, being that the dead are in the image of God. And Adam means Adam Elo Elyon. That's how we're going to translate the words. Is that what is the benefit of that interpretation? You avoid the repetition of the word Panecha and the word Temunasecha. Because what is the other interpretation? The first interpretation is, Ani b'tzedek echazeh ponecha, I, in your merit, will see your ponim, and then I will be espa, satisfied, seeing your ponim, your tumuno secha, seeing your face again, when I wake up at the time of Tchiyas Sameisim. I mean, what's going on over here? I mean, there's a repetition. But these appear to be two very different interpretations, and it's really an incredible limud, fasting halach to learn over here this idea, this interpretation. The word tmuna is a metaphor for the dead. Okay, I have a few minutes left. Let's learn a few little things, and a few minutes left before we conclude this mizmar. Let me bring up my notes and see what I have marked off, because we have limited time in what we can discuss. Okay, so here, let me just select something. Let's look at Chumash Anoch. I see I put a lot of checks next to the Chumash Anoch on page 135. Chelbamoy Sagaru Pimoy Dibu Vigeus. Okay, let's just read this. Chelbamoy. When describing the wicked, we mention over here that page 135, Chumash Anoch from the Chidah. The Chidah, Chelbamoy Sagaru, their fat has shut them down. Pimo, their mouth, Dibru Vigeus, or it could be, there's a question of where you put the comma. There are really two interpretations. According to Tamiya Mikwa, you put the comma after the word Sagaru. But you could also put the word sagar after the word pimoy. The fat has shut down their mouth, or their fat shut them down. Pimo, their mouth, speaks with arrogance. We are describing the wicked people. Efshel b'mashal kaz rabbeinu moireinu horav Rabbi Moshe Alshech Zal. Okay, the Alshech was the biggest darshan in the world. The kaimulon ha'koysev nechasev lechem ibonav loy aso ela apatripa uvezeh perish horav zal in kesev talve es ami. Dal she'enoy shalucha. What do we mean over here? FSY lo tia tifartcha sha'ato oisem mishalucha. Let me just read the words again. I forgot this whole thing. Oisem mishalucha. MS sha'ato apetroipa. It's not your money. You're only an apetropis. Vizel sha'amar eshoani imach. Ad kan devodav. Let's read a little bit further. Vizel sha'amar chelbomoy sogaru v'soivrim. Shahamomon Shelohem Umiacha Shekain Ain Mapitropa the Ainitzarch Lechabdom. You don't need to give you don't the Ainitzarch Lechabdom, the Tema, Matama Pim, the Tema, my Tima, Pimoi Dabba Vigea Shechabdom, Ho Ainam Chayam Lechabdom Klan. Listen to as follows. There's a halacha. The person on his deathbed. He writes all of his assets to one of his children. So the halacha is that child, the way it is interpreted by the Beis Din, it means he's just the trustee. It doesn't mean that the father went and gave him all the money, gave all of his children zero. That's not what it means. If a person writes all of his money to one child, the assumption is what the father really meant is make the oldest child a trustee. Therefore, he must distribute the money. He must distribute the money equally to take care of the assets. Therefore, but the problem is, the person that has all the money, he thinks that no, all the money is mine. It's mine. All you guys get lost. So, this pasuk is describing that circumstance. Chelbomoy sagaru. Their fat means that the father gave them all of his assets and they have the fat of the land. This is what caused them to disassociate himself with his brothers. And he's not going to deal with them at all. But the truth is, he's wrong. He's only an apitropis. And the reason why he led himself to believe that he's in charge is because of his arrogance. This was not a good example. I don't know why I checked this off, but you know what? Let's put that aside for now. I'm running out of time. I want to just add some other quick things. Okay, that's a drush. That's a drush which really have to go back to the Gemara and elaborate a little bit more. Let's put that aside, but let's look over here what it says in the Minchas Erev. In the Minchas Erev, the Minchas Erev Pasuk Gimel on the right side. Kuma Hashem Kadma Ponov Hachriyeu. David says to Hashem, Hashem, launch a preemptive strike. Rise up and before they attack you, Kadma, precede them, their ponim, and knock them out. Bring them down to their knees. Rebbe Pinchas, I'm reading from the Minchas Erev, right next to the Chometz Nachas neighbor on the page. On 135 of the Minchas Erev, Rebbe Pinchas B'Shem Rabbi Yoshai Omar, Chomesh Amidos Hemed David L'Kol Shmerech B'Sefer Tillim. Five times. This Rebbe Chol, this is great for you. Five times in Sefer Tehillim do we find this expression, Kumo Hashem. Okay?
Actually, I have a theme.
You have? One of your themes?
This is it?
Kuma Hashem. Okay, so this is where it comes from. There are five times in Sefer Tehillim that we find the word Kuma Hashem. Hashem launched a preemptive strike. And the five times it says Kuma Hashem allude to the Dalid Malchiyos plus what comes after. Melchem is Kegumagat. Arba Kineged Arba Malchiyos Shara Isam Baruch HaKodesh He'ach Hein Asidin L'Shabed B'Yisrael. Now the Dalad Malchiyos are going to be Bavel, Parasumada, Yavon, and Edoim. V'hu ma'amid la'kodesh baruch hu al kol achas v'achas. He's begging Hashem, al piruach ha'kodesh, Hashem, launch a preemptive attack. Rise up, save the Jews from their enemies, from the Dalad Malchiyos. V'chamishis. What is the fifth? Is Shara Malchus shel goig, shubo el Yisrael b'choska. The Omer Liakadosh Baruch Hu Kum Hashem Kel Meso Yadcha, lift up your hand. So this is a very critical medrash, because this medrash over here tells us that there's going to be a fifth. Okay, this. How do you look at Melchemes Gog Magog? Conflicting, right? They're conflicting the drashim. Exactly. That's why this medrash is a medrash. Medrash Shachatam Medrash Tehillim. That's why this medrash is very controversial. We have been taught over and over there are five. And we learned Lamasech al-Ashrinis, we learned about dividing four. We learned that there are four. That's been etched into our minds since childhood, that there are four. And then you learn a little more sophisticated, you learn that the four are divided into eight. Labatzech al-Ashrinis. And we spend a lot of time on this. That each one of the four wheels, there are two parts. Babel is divided between the Kazdim and the Babylonians. Paras and Madai, that's two. Yavan is Mikdan. There's Yavan and Mikdan. And then when it comes to Edom, Sir Ramachal likes to say there's Edom and Seir. Is that correct?
Yep.
And I like to say there is Edom and Yishmael. And then what? So we like to assume is that Goig u'Magog is part of Edom and Seir, or part of Edom and Yishmael. Not so fast. Because this medrash here says Kuma Hashem, there are five times that David says the word Kuma Tehillim, connected the Dalam Malchios, and the four is Dalam Malchios, and the third is what comes after the Dalam Malchios, which is Goig u'Magog. How then would you divide? Now here's a chiddush. Ein bet medrash b'lo chiddush. We're going to go do something that we're going to expand it. Just like we know that four turns into eight, and now we are introduced with the number five. So if the four turned into eight, then the five has to turn into ten. And that would explain why there's Goig and there is Mogoig. And Machol doesn't like this.
No, because it's always explained that Goig is the king and Mogoig is
We learned this many times. We learned there's so many Perushim. What is Goig? What is Mogoig? There are 100 Perushim. Who is Goig and Mogoig? Okay, that's one parish. Goig u'Magog is one of them, but maybe you can say there are two. There are many parishes with Goig u'Magog, but it would fit into the pattern. It would fit into the pattern of being that four turns into eight. This is medrash. This is not our stuff. L'matzech al-ashminis, mizmah l'dav. We learned this medrash inside that the four is really eight. Each one of the four is divided into two. And even Machol is masking to that. So then when it comes to Goig u'Magog, when you add to the equation, there's going to be number five. And number five is what comes after. And it's Goig u'Magog. It's not a coincidence that it's described with the term of Goig u'Magog. Who is Goig u'Magog? Well, you know, we spend a lot of time. There are many different interpretations. Who is Goig u'Magog? But it's interesting that it's two. It's not just, afterwards comes Goig. it's Goig, because according to many interpretations, the whole world, it's the whole world is coming together. The whole world is going to join together. They're going to have a coalition. They're going to come together. But why then is it called Magoig? Just say Goig or just say Magoig. Obviously, it's a complicated world. There's a Goig and there's a Magoig, and both of them, each of them has their portion in the final Geula. Okay, let's take a look at, let's see, maybe one more thing over here. Zamoisi on page 131, going all the way back. This is very short, on page 131. On 131 we have the word Zamoisi, my plans. Okay, what are my plans? This goes back on the pasuk of pasuk Gimel. Bochanta libi, pokadta laila, you've tested me. You have come to visit me at night when my thoughts are clear. Tziraftani, you have purified me, or you have made an attempt to find any psoiles. And guess what? Baltimsa, you didn't find anything. Zamoisi bal yavar pi, and may my plans. And then we learn according to the similar interpretation is that I am a sincere person. My thoughts are equal to my peh. What comes out of my mouth is what I'm thinking. I'm not from those phony people who say what you want to hear, but really in their minds they have a different set of values. That was one perush. Let's see what the Malbum says. The Malbum here says on page 131 on the bottom, on the left side of the bottom in the Malbum, Zamoisi. What does this word mean? This is really the Ber Hamilos. This on the Ber Hamilos. Zamoi, who are mamek b'machshava, who are hevdol beinoi ubein choshav. V'ruboi lo ra. Ki iyevsha shlo yava ra al machshavtoi, rak lo zomam b'machshava zois. Uritzoyne loymar. Loy simsa shehemadeti b'machshava zdover she'en roi lehoitzi mipiv. Okay, so he explains over here that there's a difference in the word. We actually said this together. It means that my thoughts are it's a deep thought. And when a person has a very deep thought, it's unavoidable there's going to be a little bit of evil in the deep thought. When a person has superficial thoughts, hey, if he's a good person, you're a good person. So then, you know, the superficial thoughts are good. But when you think very deeply about something, there's always deep down in a person's neshama a negius. There's some nuance of something not pure. And that is why very often the word zamoisi is associated with evil. And over here he's explaining, at least according to the Malbim, the word zamoisi does not mean evil. The word zamoisi just means a very deep thought. Being that ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechata, deep down in our subconscious there's always an element that's not 100%. That is why we typically associate the word zamoisi with evil. Okay, and let's see another short thing over here before my plans. So we learn Rashi. We can't. We're not gonna. We can't go over now. We aid them zaymimim. Aid them. We have evil plans. Evil. So he's saying the word zaymimim is a deep thought or a deep plan, and typically it is associated with evil.
Right.
So the Mitzvah says it's not really true. The all zamosi really means is a deep machshava, but being that ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh v'lo yechata, every person has the negius. He has some agenda in his life. And that's why when a person delves very, very down into his deep thoughts, his deep subconscious, he's always going to touch upon something that's not 100% correct. And that's why we associate the word with evil. Okay, let's go over here in the Chaimus Anach, a few lines up in the Chaimus Anach, where it says, L'fu'ulais Odom bidvar sefosecha. This pasuk was a very difficult pasuk. We translate this pasuk into the person's Hashem's commandments. We have to read these words backwards. You Hashem, you have give a command with your lips regarding man's actions. So the Chaimus Anach up, it's on the left side, on this page, page 131, Kemosha Perish Rishonim, the Cholmashu Ha'odam Chochamay Tibish, Ani Ha'ashir Choyotze, Ha'kolhu Bidvar Sefasecha. The Hasher Gozarta, Ken Yakum, Achat Sadik Ve Rosha, Loika Omar, does not say, the Chazal did not say, the Abichira Biad Adam Vezeru Zelsha Omar, Ani Shamarti Orchois Poritz. The Yimkain, Hadiba Shamarta, the Eni Yocholamoid, Kain Yokum, this that you said, the Eni Yocholamoid, I'm not sure what he's referring to over there, King, but what he's saying over here is something very interesting when he says over here, how he reads the Pasuk. And he says over here, Pasuk Dalit, Lipulais Adam Bidvar Sefasecha. It's a very, very incredible pshat, what Chumash Nach, the Jush, he puts into this Pasuk. A person, whatever you are in this world, there's nothing you can do about it. Hashem made every person the way he made them. A person, if he's a chacham, a tipish, asher, ani, 95% of your life already has been decided for you the moment you come into this world. The moment a person comes into this world, it's it. You are what you are. You have your abilities, your talent, your environment, the schools you're going to go to. You come into this world, your parents, they put you, you're in a certain environment, your parents put you in a certain school, you come from a certain social background and the financial situation that you're in. Everything that a person has in this world, ruba de ruba, is predetermined. We all know that to be true. You're put into a system. And that, there's nothing you can do about. This is bashert. Arboim yoim koidim ayitzira machlizin, Bas ploini leploini, sode ploini leploini, bias ploini leploini, everything already is predetermined. That's what it says in the Pasuk Dalet. Lipu'ulais odam, regarding a person's pu'ulais, his situation, his comfort level, his destiny in this world, bidvar sifosecha. Your lips, Hashem, have already decided what I'm going to be like. Am I going to be tall or short? Will I be rich or poor? Will I have a good job, not a good job? Who am I going to marry? Okay, you can mess things up. We all know that. But a person has a mazel, a person has a natural disposition to certain behavior, to certain activities, to certain type of lifestyle. Many of your things that happen in life have been decided for you, more or less, and that's what it says. Acknowledge the facts. Lipu'ulais adam, regarding man's pu'ulais, his existence in this world and his activities, bidvar sifosecha, it's already been decided. So what's left for man to decide? Will you be a tzaddik or a rasha? Ani shamarti, David, what's left for me to decide in this world? What's ani? What do I have a right to decide? Or chois parts. To shamarti or chois parts. It's to guard myself and not go down on a path of wickedness. Not to be a rasha. To be a tzaddik and not. That is your bechira. No one made that decision for you. In every environment that you find yourself, in every situation you find yourself, whether you're an Osher and Ani, whether you're a Chacham, you're a Tipish, whether you live in Flatbush or live in Florida, every day you will be challenged with making a decision. Do you want to be a Tzaddik or do you want to be a Rosh in this particular situation? That's your job in this world. Everything else, more or less, what can you do? You can do the best thing you can do. It is what it is. One more time, the words over here. These words in the Minchas Chachamera. Lipu'ulais adam bedvar sefasecha. What do these words mean? Al derech drush. Kimo sheperish harishayinim. It means the kol mashu hu ha'adam. Everything a person has in this world, whether he's a chacham, a tipish, ani, a asher, v'chayotzei boy, chayotzei, it's already been decided for you. Ha'kol hu bidvar sifosecha. V'chasher gozarta, what you have established, Hashem, kein yokum. So what's left for you in this world? Why did you come into this world? And if not, you're not going to have any decision. You have a natural predisposition to be a dentist, or to be a lawyer, or an accountant, or a computer programmer. What's the other purpose? This is natural. This is where I'm gonna navigate. I'm gonna gravitate towards. You know what you don't. You know what you, there's no gravitational pull. It's all up to you, 100%. Ach, tzaddik v'rasha, loy kamar. That's where the habichira biyad ha'adam. V'zehu she'omar. You know what's left for me to do in this world? You know what my chelik in this world is? Adni shamarti orchois paritz. I guarded myself along the path of the paritz, of the, those who breach. I guarded not to be from the rishoyim. I guarded myself not to fall into the trap, be pulled in the way of the wicked people who break down the fences, break down the morals, the ethics, the laws of this world, to be a rush. I chose to be a tzaddik, mim kain. This is where I am able to make my mark. A very beautiful drush in reading a very typical classic mahalich of the Chaimus Anach. All right, there's a lot more here, but unfortunately, that's it for now. And Yerushalayim, tomorrow we're going to go on to Mizmar Yud Ches.